Scotty McLaughlin.
Big Jack has driven the goal. What a cracker.
And McLaughlin comes to the line.
Yes.
A 2:03.8.
And Scott McLaughlin puts one on the chair.
Jack puts it through. He's a man for the big occasion.
That is off the scale fast.
Hi everyone, the biggest stage awaits this weekend on Bulls and Bumpers. A berth in the 2020 AFL Grand Final is at stake across preliminary final weekend. And the greatest prize in Australian motorsport is up for grabs at Mount Panorama. The night before the first preliminary final, two-time premiership winning Tiger Jack Riewoldt joins us live from Adelaide. Hello Jack.
Hello boys, how are we all? We're spread across the country today.
We are a newly crowned three-time supercar champion and the defending Bathurst 1000 race winner, Scott McLaughlin. Welcome from pit lane at Mount Panorama, mate.
Hey, guys, here in my Taj Mahal out the back of the pit lane. I'm really, really privileged to be here with you both.
Plenty on the agenda for you both to get through in the next hour or so. It's Bathurst 1000 weekend. It's preliminary final weekend, a title defence at Bathurst. America beckons for Scott. There's Port Adelaide tomorrow night for Jack. It's a week out from the grand final. So much to get through, and we've got exciting news, boys. We've got ourselves a major sponsor.
Big.
Thanks, everyone, for being so excited.
Who pulled this one?
We need to find out about it first. Can we just give the promo first? So EC Credit Control are our new backers of Balls and Bumpers. Matty and his team have come on board for the rest of the year. And, Jack, you can tell us all about EC Credit Control.
Well, EC Credit Control are a company that I've never been involved in, Tim and Scott, because I pay my bills on time. But these guys, they collect thousands and millions of dollars, I'm going to say 100 million, for over 10,000 clients all across New Zealand and Australia. So if you're looking for some dosh to be dealt back to you, give EC Credit Control a call on 1300 361 070 or 0800 324 768. Now, this is where it gets interesting, boys, because they're not Richmond fans for starters, so they're not AFL fans, but they are big fans of Mr. Worldwide himself, Scott McLaughlin. So if you quote 1743, your first debt load will be free off the back of Scotty. I want to delve a little bit deeper though. How do you know this mob, Scotty? Please don't lie, because this has come across both of our desks. It's come upon our
You don't desks. Have a desk, mate. You do not have
I'm
a desk.
I'm sitting at a desk right now in my hotel in Adelaide, in the penthouse, up right at the top, level 16.
Yep,
at the Ibis. Mm-hmm. Tell us that, mate. Come on. Let's go out with it.
They work for bigger organisations such as banks and governments, and for smaller clients like mechanics, tradies, and even some suppliers for supercars, which are, you know, supercars are sponsored by Avis, Avis Car Rental. Unfortunately, I charged back a rental car on the team's account, actually for my testing when I went to IndyCar for the Coda test earlier this year. And I kept getting this message like saying, Scott, do you mind just fixing up this bill? And I'm like, nah, there's no way.
How much?
It was like $400, I think, $500. I genuinely, for months, it was from Avis, and I thought it was a scam. So I just like deleted it, spam in my email, just like done. I don't want a bar of it. I just thought they were just taking the piss, because I generally thought Roger and his team over there looked after me with the rental car, or I just charged it back to them. Then I had Matt contact me, or one of his main workers there. And, they were like, I saw EC Credit Control. I'm like, this is pretty legit. They're like, this invoice is outstanding for, you know, a few months, obviously. We're coming to chase you down. And then anyway, I'm like, I basically shit myself. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to have a bad credit, all this sort of stuff. So I sort of got right on the phone, and anyway, a couple of days later, the guys were really good about it, and they're Kiwi bloke. So I was speaking to them about a few things, so they're loving it. And Yeah, it was just after, also, this was about an hour after I had missed my flight home from Adelaide too, when all this sort of come to fruition. So, yeah, and then I got in touch with Matt and his team. Matt was like, yeah, I'm a big fan. I'd love to be part of Balls and Bumpers. So, effectively, I haven't paid Sheets, but I've brought Sheets back to Balls and Bumpers. And I will fix
the... So, what happened with the debt?
I still haven't fixed the bill up. I've been honest.
You're trying to ask.
No, I'm being honest. I forwarded this on to Team Penske, as that's part of my deal. And Matt has come on board as a sponsor and, you know, sponsored us with Sheets. So that is a fantastic story, and I'm really proud of it. I'm probably not proud of being chased for cash, but I'm proud of the fact that I brought cash to this, you know, family.
Well, Hodgie, I want to pick some holes in this story here, because our boy, Scott McLaughlin, thinks that he's the big tough guy, is telling him, yeah, no. What was your first reply back to the first ever message they sent you in regards to this debt?
F off. And
It was spelled out.
I was like, stop. I remember that. No, this was to Avis. I genuinely responded back to Avis in a pretty, like, can you please leave me alone way, but it was a bit more graphic. And yeah, now I feel like a dickhead. So yeah, anyway, we've got a sponsor out of it. So that's the main thing. Thanks, Maddie and his team.
So you're all tough guy, and then you just wimped out when the bus come through and said, oh, you owe us money and you still haven't even paid your tight ass.
This is what is so good about EC Credit Control, Jack. They when they need to chase big dogs,
haven't got the money back yet.
They get even bigger dogs to chase the big dogs. So yeah, no, it's good thing. Good thing.
I'm not sure Roger would love outstanding debts from his drivers, so you better get onto that, Scott. There's also it's probably an opportune time, lads, to bring in the Ricky Bobby segment. We haven't had it for a little while, but like Henry Ford and Enzo Ferrari before him, Scott McLaughlin, you're now in rarefied air that you've got your very own car out on the road that you've created. Tell us about the SM17.
SM17 is a really cool. It's actually got more horsepower than my actual race car. It's got about 770 odd horsepower. It's plenty of bang for your buck with the car. It's all customized. I wanted matte black stripes on the car. I wanted cool little emblems in the wheels. I wanted black wheels. So every edition has black wheels. You can have whatever color you want in the Ford range, and you can also have auto and manual. It's a cool thing. We just had an awesome review in Wheels magazine. They said it was a 4.5 out of 5 rating. So I reckon that was pretty good. So
I'm pretty proud
of that.
Why didn't you get 5 out of 5?
Road noise. Yep. It's something that you'd find on your company's
looks to me,
car.
I like how you sort of just played this as, oh, this is what I like. What I see when I see you in a red polo. Said to you, mate, you've got to make the car look like you. So we're going to have black wheels, like your black pants that you wear to the Bathurst, and your red polo. So I'm looking forward though, Hodgie.
Yeah, surely we've dad been, joke, man. It's so good. That was awesome.
We've been after a Ford Raptor for what now? Probably a year and a half since the show started. But surely now he's got his own car. It's actually, he's designed it. It's his own car. Got his initials on it. Surely we're getting one of these new, come on, Mustangs, mates. Surely, seriously. Or two, one each.
Yeah, no dramas, boys. Just throw a couple of invoices in for you and I'll send the details. I'll get EC Credit Control to chase you down for the dosh, and we'll be no dramas.
What sort of shoots would be involved, do you think, Jack, with having your own car named after you?
I don't know. We want to play a game, Hodgie, to see. Do you remember Price is Right with Larry Ebner?
Yes, I do. And you know the scary thing here, Scott and Jack, is that Scott actually told me last week how much he was making out of this. So I've got a rough idea that I can play this game pretty well if you do the guessing.
So the game I liked on my favourite game on Price is Right was the little yodeling man up the hill. And he got to the point where he tipped off. So what's the retail of one of these wagons, Scotty?
About 115, 120 on roads, plus on roads.
And they made 100 of them. Is that correct?
Yeah, at this stage, we believe there's going to be about 100. Just depends on the market, what they want.
How many are sold?
I don't even know if I'm meant to be saying this, but I think 30 are going to New Zealand. I know that for sure. And then what goes on in Australia, maybe 70 or 80, I believe.
Okay, so I reckon, Hodgie, I'm going to say, what does a normal Mustang go for?
Are you going to get in trouble here, Scott?
70K?
Jack, how do you feel about the weekend? Next.
100 grand, Hodgie. That's the number I'm going to go for. Oh!
Higher!
North! In the current climate, Tim, I've preached this ever since COVID came across the border, came across countries into Australia. There has never been a man who's made more money in COVID than he made out of COVID. He is just absolutely taking the mickey. Mate, you're taking the piss.
No, mate, I'm not. You are talking shit, and we need to move segments.
Draining this country dry and leaving us.
And he's draining still can't this country pay debts.
Dry and then leaving us. And he can't even pay a $400 debt.
Oh, you've been in the hub for too long, mate. You've been in the hub for too long.
You're sending
I'm not in a hub. Jack, I can go out and make money unlike you. You're secluded from the world because you're special AFL stars. You've got to stay away from everyone.
Do you think Roger's going to think less of you because he won't pay a $400 bill? Seriously.
No.
$400, mate.
You're a flog. You are a flog.
Any makes rates for these SM17 Ford Mustangs?
No, well, you're not my mates. So, like, I don't... There's nothing in it.
Oh, I can't believe this. Oh, hey, Hodgie, if I was making over 100 grand off something like that, I'd just... You know what I'd do? I'd say, hey, don't worry about paying me. Just give me a couple of cars for the boys that have got me where I am today.
Oh.
And as a going-away present, I'm gonna go over to the States and do what I'm going to do over there and race IndyCar and whatnot. I'm going to give them a present just for helping me along the journey. But I haven't seen anything. I'm not 1 cent. Nothing. Just all I want is a car, a free car. That's all I want.
In the words of Justin Timberlake, cry me a river, champ. Just move on.
Hey, Jack, look, when you get back to Melbourne, whenever the hell you come home after 100 days abroad, there might be in your driveway. Who knows?
Oh,
I think Scott will do the right thing.
That'd be so good, wouldn't it?
I'll do the right thing by myself, not you blokes.
Righto,
that could be anything.
This is a huge weekend. It's a great time to actually have you both. It's Thursday night. It's the night before your big game, Jack. Scott, you've been out on track today for opening practice at the Mountain. I just want to pry inside your mind, get your mindset about the weekend, about how you deal with nerves, how you deal with anxiety, how you're dealing with, you know, the biggest weekend potentially of both of your years.
I'll go. I think I'm feeling good. I'm feeling pretty relaxed. Probably more so because I had the win last year and feel like accomplished that I've done a goal that I'm sure Jack probably was the same when he went to his second granny, because we all know he missed out in 2018 because of the great Mason Cox. But it's one of those deals where I'm feeling really comfortable. Slady's doing a fantastic job. There's no reason for me to feel nervous or have anxiety. I think it's really, we've just got to control what we can control, and it's such a simple thing, but it that's just been our motto this whole week, this whole year. And yeah, we come into it with pretty good pace. I know that we're going to be there or thereabouts. It's just a matter of doing the best job we can, and we'll be right.
Yeah, Hodgie over here, I sort of feel like this is a bit more of a business trip this week. It's sort of, there's actually a little bit more normality to coming away and playing football in a state where clearly not as impacted by COVID-19. And we're going to have a big crowd tomorrow night. Granted, they're not really going to be cheering for us. There might be a few. It still provides us with the fact that we know we're traveling. We know we're away from home. We know we're going to have a lot against us. In terms of the crowd, we've all experienced that with away games at some point in our careers. So I'm really, really confident about where the group's at, that we can perform now. I mean, Port Adelaide a good side, so they could play better than us, and we can still play well and lose. But I mean, someone has to win. That's the nature of sport and competition. But Yeah, I reckon the side's in a really good spot at the moment. We're excited about the challenge that lies ahead.
It's amazing. It's your fourth straight prelim final, Jack. Just the fine line in a prelim final. It's one of the most difficult weekends of footy of the year that, you know, you win, you're into a grand final, there's so much anticipation, and you lose, and the season goes down as probably a failure. So there's a bloody lot riding over the next 24 hours, isn't there?
I think people say the prelims are the hardest games to win, because you're right, you're so close to that final goal of winning the premiership, but you can stumble and not have the chance to actually even go for it. So for us, I think we've got a lot of evidence, and Scotty mentioned it before, that we've been here before, and this is our fourth prelim in a row, and we've won a couple and then lost one, obviously, in 2018. So I think we've learned a lot. We've actually established a bit of evidence about the ability to play in these big games. Now, they're always different, and this season's been the most different season that probably we've ever seen in Australian rules football. So, yeah, it's just interesting. It's going to be a big challenge. I don't know whether if we lose, I'll put it down as a failure. You always want to win, but you've still got to look at the brighter side of seasons and take little wins out of it too. But yeah, it's a big game, and it's the reason we play football. It's the reason we train in the off season as hard as we do, and it's why we put our bodies on the line so that we give ourselves a chance to hopefully take away that cup at the end of the season.
I know, Jack, you don't watch when you only watch 360 when you're on it. Last night, Jordan Lewis, who has won four premierships, has been in seven prelim finals. This is a question for both of you. Like, he said in these biggest weeks of his year, of his career, that he used to try and bank some sleep. And it was fascinating. Bank some sleep on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, because he knew Wednesday night, Thursday night, especially if it was a Friday night game, he would not be sleeping. Can you relate to that? Like how do you sleep the night before, or even for you,
pretty good.
Saturday night?
Yeah, I sleep.
I sleep pretty good. He's staying in probably a $500,000 caravan.
Oh, geez, that jumped. Well. That jumped. Anyway, yeah, no.
Bloody SM17s.
I sleep good. Yeah, I don't know about Jack, but I there's no dramas there, and I'm one of those people that can sort of run off sort of like 6-7 hours and no dramas. So
our boy is that good at running off no sleep that he'd actually get on the Today Show with zero sleep. One of the most phenomenal efforts we've ever seen in Australian television. But like, tonight's actually the first night where I'm away. So Carly and Poppy are still up in the Gold Coast. I don't have to get up early and do any of the normal dad duties. And the other thing is, the sun comes up at 4:30 in Brisbane. For the life of me, why do they not have daylight savings? It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen.
That's so frustrating. I reckon it'd be the best place in the world with daylight savings.
How good would it be?
Yeah.
Like even 5:30, the sun's getting up. But it's getting up at 4:30, and then all of a sudden at 6 o'clock, it's dark. You end up going to bed at 8 o'clock.
But how good's the weather, though? It's way better than Melbourne.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I've been going to the beach most mornings when I've been up in Brisbane, up in the Gold Coast. Down to the North, Burley, Surf Life, Swimming Club, and jumping in.
Get
there.
The rig out, or do you wear a rash?
Nah, budgie smugglers for me, mate. Straight in. Sun's not out yet, so I can't get burnt. But I went for a quick swim after training here in Adelaide. She's a little bit chillier down here in South Australia than it is up there on the beautiful Gold Coast. So I'm transitioning to being a sunshine state man.
Do you visualise what's to come? What are you guys doing in that space?
Yeah, no, we spoke. Usually 3 days out from the game, we do a little bit of a mindfulness, it's a sort of group mindfulness visualization. And it's been really good, actually, because Emma's been in the hub for the last 2 weeks. So Murray, we spoke about last
She told me she's loving it. She's loving it.
Loving being in there. Just for she's been really good. So it's actually, she actually starts to pick up a bit more of the lingo and a bit more of the language sitting in meetings. So she can tailor that sort of final mindfulness session into exactly what we want, because the theme sort of builds up during the week, as most clubs do and sporting organisations do. They have sort of some sort of theme, they have a lingo that they use when they describe the way they want to play. So that's been a real positive for us. So yeah, we're in a good spot. We're in a really good spot for that. Yeah.
What about you, Scott?
Yeah, I probably will ring Emma tonight and just go through the day. There's not much to talk about when you sort of just haven't been in setup. You've just been in setup days and all that sort of stuff. So for me, I just, yeah, I'll speak to her tonight or tomorrow morning. I'll visualize qualifying and what I need to do. Effectively, what I'm doing is I'm just in practice, I'm just doing the, you know, qualifying, getting a feel for the qualifying car, maybe a little bit of the race car, but Slade or Tim Slade is, you know, sorting the race car out pretty much there. So for me, I just need to visualize on what I want on a lap, on one lap, and how I want to drive it. And I say that probably tomorrow morning.
What's first time you've sort of driven with Slade, and he's a little bit shorter than you are, and how's he finding it with the setup? Because in the normal season, you'd be having Sandown. It would have had a chance to test maybe a little bit more. This year, obviously, completely different. We saw him have a little moment today with Van Gisbergen. How's he finding the car? Is he suggesting things to you with the car, or are you sort of saying, hey, this is how I like to drive it? Here's some info about how to go about it, or just go and you do you and I'll do me?
No. This is... he's jumped today for a guy that really hasn't driven the car before, you know, a little bit at Tallon Bend, but we have changed a fair bit since then. And then to jump in and, you know, go just as quick as Tony, who's been in the car for sort of 4 years, was pretty impressive. But he's feeling comfortable. There's a few little line things that he needs to, like, just G up or get a bit right, especially coming down the hill, you know, into the dipper and a few things. I do a couple little things different that he hasn't sort of done in the past. So a bit of that. But yeah, look, fitting in really well. He's comfortable in the car, which has been, like you said, a bit of a challenge because I am a little bit taller than him. And I think, and with this big insert, which makes things a lot difficult, because back in the day, me and Alex, we never had an insert. We just got hopped in and out, which was pretty good. But yeah, it's going really smoothly at the moment, and Tim's done a great job for how little time he's had in the seat.
I've been watching, I think a lot of the motorsport fans out there have been watching, and yourself have been watching the Bathurst channel, and happened to catch last year's race this afternoon, which was on, and just reliving obviously the glory of 2019 and you're succeeding. And Slade drove last year and crashed out on the first corner. It got me started to get me thinking about how powerless you are in that position when he's your co-driver. What's the coping strategies or any mechanisms that you use when you're not in control of your car? Because it's you're the one driving for the points. You're the main driver. Someone else is out there driving your car. Is it just sit back and watch them go? Or is it, do you do something to try and take your mind away from the fact that if they crash, your race is done as well?
It's inevitable that you sort of think about that. And I'm sure that Slade actually thinks about it, even though he's the co-driver. You just, you know, you're competitive. You want things to go right. You want things to go well. I've got a couple of little, you know, things I do with Emma in regards to, you know, if I do think of a bad, you know, thought or whatever, it's called a stop strategy. So basically I stop and call out what I'm thinking, and then I sort of like change the thought. So, you know, I can't control what Slade does. I can only sort of guide and help him, and the same with the team and the pit stops. If I start trying to control that, even when I'm out of the car, like, I'm just mentally wasting energy on myself. So I just try and, I've definitely got better over the years. I've been pretty bad in that with the letting go and the control, having given away control of the race car to others. But I've definitely got better and probably matured a bit more in that area too.
Which I can imagine. It's just the one thing and that's what makes enduro so different, is that they crash and you're out of it. And there's been a lot made, and Garten has been pretty public about the fact that they sort of look at Red Bull as, I think, nearly a tier above everyone else, because they have Garth driving with Shane, and then Lowndes obviously driving with Wincup. But they see those two drivers as arguably the best drivers, but ultimately, yeah, the best co-drivers. But ultimately, they haven't been in the car this year at all, really, bar the Taliban testing that you're talking about. So it's an interesting way of looking at it. I love that you're talking about the what we call name entertainment. It's a thought process that you go into something and all of a sudden you know it's the wrong thing to be thinking about, and actually going through the process of actually naming it to tame that fear.
Yep. Oh, and that's something that I started actually this time last year. I was certainly, you know, calling out bad things, bad thoughts and whatever, and definitely more in a more positive mindset than I was this time last year. And which is crazy because, like, we had such a good run in, but it shows the power of this race mentally for you. Like when you get it done, like when it's, I feel so, so under control, which is awesome.
Into tomorrow, guys, let's just work through what we've got ahead of us this weekend. Scott, will you qualify and then will you try and have your debrief and get in front of the telly to watch tomorrow night's game, which I think it's one of the most anticipated prelim finals I can remember with the Port Adelaide-Richmond clash?
Oh, no, absolutely. I'll be watching. That's my go-to, just throw the footy on. Lately, it's been throw the footy on while I play Call of Duty, and I've got the Call of Duty set up here, ready to go. With the TV right behind it. So, no, I'm excited. I think it's going to be interesting. That what's very powerful is I think one of the coolest things in footy is what Port do at the start of the game with the flags, the scarves up and all that sort of stuff, very similar to the EPL.
Never tear us apart.
Yeah, never tear us apart. And I think it's a very cool thing. And I couldn't imagine, like, hearing that, like, that must be like, it must be pretty one for the home team, but just it's almost a goal. It's you know what I mean? I just feel like it's a goal almost, like the feelings get before the bounce. But yeah,
it's an interesting one that you talk about, because I remember the first time we ever experienced the In Excess Never Tear Us Apart over here, and I reckon it's one thing where sides could get rattled about it, but it actually creates a fair bit of, like, it's that final buzz. That's nearly like, yep, there's countdown clocks and stuff that they have, but that is just like the build up to that gets everyone.
Does it help you
for the game?
Does it help you as well?
I don't think it doesn't hinder me. It doesn't scare me. Yeah. It's not a tactic. It's not, oh, well, look here, they're singing this song, but it's one, it's a great song. And it just gets the juices flowing for the contest. No, I think it's fantastic. You're exactly right. It's EPL. It's patriotic. It's something like that, when I watch sport, I love about that sort of stuff. So I'm looking forward to hearing that after the national anthem tomorrow night. So it's going to be exciting. A good bit about playing footy over here against Port.
So it'll be the biggest crowd you've played in front of this year, Jack, which is so rare for Richmond to have that it spoken about leading into a final, when normally you play in front of 80,000 plus most weeks at the MCG. How much time have you put in this week to just dealing with what sort of hostile environment is coming your way tomorrow? I mean, you saw it in week one in the elimination final in Perth that Collingwood copped against the Eagles. It's going to be hostile. It's going to be feral tomorrow night. They're all going to be banged for your blood. Do you talk about, like, how to deal with this?
I feel like it's going to be bloody exciting. That's the thing. Like, it's I don't find it daunting at all. So I think that mentally for our group, we've played in some pretty big games as a club. So I don't think it's going to be an issue for us. It's a bit of an abnormality really starting to play in front of a crowd, but I mean, we experienced Brisbane 2 weeks ago. Last year, we played in front of 12 or so thousand. So, I don't know. There's a little part of you when you travel interstate. If you've ever seen the movie 300, you sort of think, well, there's something like that. If you can go away and beat not only a football team, but beat a bunch of screaming fans that are baying for your blood, there's something sick about that that you just, it really, as a sports person, it's great to achieve. So you're right, Tim, they're going to be absolutely howling the roof down tomorrow. Heaven forbid if there's a free kick, a dubious free kick against Port Adelaide early that goes our way, they might tear the joint down. They actually might tear the joint down, but it's great. It's what footy's about. It's you want to go and do this because it sort of proves to yourself a little bit that you can go away and play big games and win big games when everyone thinks that the game's going to go one way.
Do you think you play better in these games? Obviously, last week, 4 disposals, no goals. I'm not ripping on you, but like, is that a concern for you? Or like, I feel like you, whenever you show up to a, no, but honestly, I remember this time last year we ripped on you and you come out in the grand final and you kicked a bag. You're a big game player. I don't know. Do you take confidence from the previous grand finals where you've absolutely just slotted pills or, oh, well, slotted the pill into into the thingo? But yeah.
Well, I like the use of slotted pills there. It's evidence for me. Like, I know I can play well. I didn't play great last week, like, and that's part and parcel. I've had poor finals before. Probably every final series I've had a bad one. Also, I say I had a bad one, but I still try and affect the game fundamentally some other way. So whether it's just creating a contest or whether I can lead.
Which is obvious. You can see that on the game too. Like,
yeah,
it's
so
bringing the ball to ground, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited about this week. Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this week. I love playing in the yellow jumpers. For one, I know it sounds a bit weird. I really do like playing in the away jumpers. So I'm as confident as I've been. My body's in really good condition. Done a power of work mentally and physically over the last month to set myself up for this. So.
It is. It's interesting it's you say you like playing in the yellow jumpers because you don't mind milking a free kick from time to time. We all know that. So
I don't get many.
It's yeah. I've seen you work out a couple of those, but good on you, mate. It's I hope you go well. I hope you go well. Do you want to be back at the Gabba in another grand final next week? What do you reckon? Like, what? Obviously, great. A lot. It's a stupid question, but Hodgie put on the rundown and he told me to ask it. So I just thought I'd.
You said bring up Jack's form, and I was like, I'm not touching that. And then Kane Corn brought it up, so it was okay.
Yeah.
What did Kane Corn say? I didn't catch anything.
He's been ripping you this week. Yeah, like
but
always.
It's different when you're mates. Like, you can not ripping
rip
on
last
him.
Year too?
Yeah. Everyone rips on Jack. It's fun ripping on Jack. I enjoy it.
I read a very funny story today, an article written by Kane Corns about how Port Adelaide should surprise us with the prison bar jumpers and then just have a towel over the camera and all of a sudden come out, and that would scare us off.
That guy is away with the fairies, mate. I don't care. Like how is that going to affect you?
He's Hodgie's mate. That's all I can say.
How is he mine, mate?
He's in the football media with you.
Yeah, you, so this John, is, Ralph, Alfie.
Todgy, I want to put this on the absolute. This is on record. Kane Corns is now an official enemy of the podcast. We've got two official enemies: Kane Corns and John Ralph.
What about Mick Malthouse?
Three official enemies of the podcast. Okay, we need some more friends.
So
we're
anyone
a lot of enemies.
Hang on, Hodgie, just so we know, that anyone that talks
I'm pretty
bad,
sure David Reynolds is number four.
Dave Reynolds.
Dave Reynolds is the enemy of the podcast. Barry Ryan's probably enemy of the podcast.
Hunting Tim Slade today.
He's on the teetering edge of being an enemy of the podcast.
But seriously, Jack, so you're the defending premier. You're taking on the minor premier. Port Adelaide has sat on top of the ladder every single weekend of the year since March 21. Look, it's set up unbelievably that, you know, that it's the hunter versus the hunted. So it's, look, you're
talking
about your confidence. I think you're probably, there's probably an element that you're both trying to be the hunter, but you said you're working on your own confidence levels. Like, what are the confidence levels of your team going into tomorrow night? Are you confident that this goes on another week and you can get to another granny?
I didn't say we're working on our confidence levels. I think we're working on a lot of aspects, but we're as confident as we ever been. If we go into a game knowing that if we play our best, more than likely we'll win. But as I said, they could play their best, we could play our best, and it goes 50-50. So really it is in our hands in terms of the way we play. They can take a lot away. They can take stuff away from us, but we have an inner belief, and it's been established over a number of years now that if we play our way, more than likely the result is going to go our way. So that's all that we can control. that's come over, I mean, obviously repetition of doing it for a lot of times now and playing a lot of football together. But the crux of it, if we show up and do our jobs, we're going to give ourselves the best chance of winning. So I don't know where I wouldn't say we're overconfident. I wouldn't say we're more confident than we were halfway through the season, but we're confident that, yeah, if we play good footy, we're going to give ourselves the best chance of winning.
Just a question. Do you think, or do you, when you see like the niggly stuff from Lynch, maybe it was a bit aggressive from Cochin on old mate. I can't remember who it was at the start of the game or close to the, yeah, that's
Zach Jones.
Jones, like, do you cringe when you see that, or do you see it on the field, or like, do you go up to Lynch and just go, "Hey, mate, I've got 280 something games, about to pass old Richo." I mean, I'm surprised that hasn't come up, Hodgy. Anyway,
you brought it up.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have brought it up, so it's up now. But yeah, do you go up to him and just go, "Oi, mate, turn it down. If we make the granny, we want you to be playing, you flog." Or do you sort of get...
Geez, you're going along the Mitch Robinson sort of path here.
No, I'm not. I'm just asking. I think the niggle's good, and I don't think there's anything in Lynch's incident or Cochin's, but the edge, you know? Like, what do you think?
I like winding him up because I know that he plays his best footy when he's aggressive. You know, there's the line that he's crossed, obviously, minorly crossed this year a few times.
Yep.
Do I think that he's been singled out in a lot of incidents? I would say yes. Do I think
because a lot why? Of fine?
Just think that there's been a bit of a groundswell of...
he's to a be fair, Jack, and, he's got a body of work from this year alone.
Yeah, Hodgie, he probably does, but I think that there's probably two incidents in there that didn't deserve to be fined. I mean, the whole tribunal case was an absolute farce. We all know that. And they were after him, absolutely after him, Hodgie. And I mean, obviously, in the end, cooler heads prevailed that he didn't cop the suspension, but he. Yeah, it's the way you prep yourself. Now, there'd be drivers, Scotty, that would want to have a bit of zen, just go into their own space. But there'd be other drivers that listen to heavy metal music and they just need to... Like, I imagine Shane Van Gisbergen is just like a machine, like just... And he thrives on the fact that he can... A bit of contact actually gets him going, sort of. That's the way he drives. He's an aggressive driver. Lynch is just an aggressive player.
Yeah.
He's just an aggressive player and... I mean, there's going to be hiccups along the journey. Cochin's the same. They are tough players. That's not my dish. I'm not a real get in there and smash them type of player.
You're just a yapper, eh? You throw a grenade and you just run. That's what you do, don't you?
Yeah, let other people do the fighting.
Yeah, you weak as piss. No. You're fair game.
What about Dusty Martin, Jack? Can you take us? Give us an insight into what he's like. What is he like having dinner tonight? Do you sort of see that he's got 8 magical quarters ahead of him to get you through tomorrow to go and win another bloody Norm Smith medal? No one's won 3 Norm Smith medals ever, but he could do it next week. So do you sort of see it? You know, give us an insight into what Dusty's like.
Well, he would have had some Thai for dinner tonight because that's his go-to. He likes a green chicken curry.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's
do you think that's very dangerous potentially?
Well, no, we've got a private chef up in the Gold Coast, so he just makes it for us. So
really, you just ask what you want?
Yeah, pretty much, and not for a game. He's like, because we ordered Uber Eats once. Uber Eats, great friends of the show and great friends of mine.
Oh my god!
We ordered Uber Eats and he was like, the chef came out and was offended that we were ordering Uber Eats. He said, "What do you have?" So then I just like a bit of, I usually have a mutton curry, but tonight I've had a bit of pasta. I feel like something a bit different. So he then proceeded to, for the next 11 games or whatever we've been up in the hub, he's made dinner for us every night before a game. He even makes Barramundi spring rolls, which we're all a fan of because we like Ribera's down in South Melbourne, Port Melbourne, sorry. So, yeah, he's been the best on.
What? So, does your meal change post, like, if you have a win or if you have a loss? Like, is there like a punishment wheel? Or like
no.
That same deal?
I don't mind myself going there and eat sand. which, funny story, I know this is completely off topic, but I took Poppy to the beach the other day, and she started loving the water up here in the Gold Coast. And I've taken her down to North Burley, just a little daddy-daughter date, with Carly at a time, just to relax at home. And in the half an hour down there, she had three handfuls of wet sand she ate, and she was about to bite into a jellyfish that she found on the beach. Not one that's going to sting you, but one that sort of looked a bit like, it's sort of similar size to, say, a patty that you, like a hamburger patty.
You've been to Irwin, are you, mate? No,
she picked it up and went to bite it, and I'm like, sprinted over there, just slapped it out of her hands in the last second. So, father of the year.
How weird were you? Were you in water or something, just getting your rig out? Just, old Poppy was on the...
Mate, I was 10 metres away. Just, I was standing in ankle-deep water. She was sort of standing further up the beach because she's a bit brazen at the moment. She just runs into the water. I've got to sort of try and get her before she gets smashed in there. And then these jellyfish have just appeared over the last week or so. They don't sting you, but she had it, literally was going to eat it sandwich style straight down the gob.
I won't be voting for you for the sporting dad of the year this year. I'll give you the tip.
But back to your question, Hodgie. Dusty could do anything. Fair dinkum. He's just mentally in a really good space. He performs in the big games. If we were to win the flag again this year, it would not surprise me one iota if he managed to win the Norm Smith again, because he's just a big game player. I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings tomorrow night. It's one of the trump cards that we've got. We've got a guy called Dustin Martin who just does it. There you go.
Right, is that enough footy?
Yeah, well, what do you want to
talk about? I don't know about
you.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. let's talk about it. Oh,
so what if it's wet at Mount Panorama, Scott? Ooh, Saturday,
it's gonna rain.
Sunday. What does that do to your mental state? What does that do to the prep for the car? Like the frustration with a dry setup or a wet setup? Where are you at right now?
If it rains, I'll be pretty disappointed because it's not like a disappointment and, oh, we've got a fast car. I still think we'll be faster in the rain. We were faster in the rain last year, but I don't. Like 7 hours will be an absolute brain freeze. It will just be, it'll be a long race.
Ten to twenty mils. Is that right of rain on Sunday alone?
Yeah, but things have changed. I think it looks like potentially it could in the afternoon of. Jane's taking a day off tonight. But I with my weather radar, it looks like there's going to be a lot overnight on Saturday. I reckon it could be a wet start to Sunday and dry out towards the end of the race. That's my picking.
Okay.
Does that make it harder then? Say it starts, it's teeming down Sunday morning and the race starts Sunday morning and it's a wet race to start and then you've got to go back to a dry race later in the afternoon. How much difference is there between the setups? It must be complete opposites nearly.
Well, yeah, there's enough. Like you can do stuff on the fly with your dry setup for the rain, but it won't be as good as an ultimate wet setup. There definitely is, a setup that you can go to that is genuinely faster than any dry setup with a couple of hybrid wet setup changes. So sometimes it's a little gamble with this race because I've had it before where you've put on it looked like there was going to be more rain than we forecasted and than we actually got. And we put a wet setup on. We were really faster than rain, obviously, and we're coming through the pack and then it dried out by the end of the race and we had nothing. So we fell back. So you can sort of stuff your stuff over a little bit. So it's hard. You've got to find a really nice hybrid setup. That's Ludo.
Ludo says,
Richard. Yeah, I won't. I mean, I'll have my input, but ultimately, they're the guys giving me the car, and they've got more eyes on the weather radar and what they think, more professionals on that. So I just do what I need to do, focus on what I need to, whether it's dry, figure out what I need to do in the rain or figure out what I need to do in the dry. I'm just fully focused on driving the car.
One thing I have listened, I've been watching obviously the Bathurst channel, as I mentioned, and they always mention on the commentary, they're like, oh, the teams will have someone in this bloody suburb or this town, let's say Orange. The teams will have someone in Orange watching the weather come through. Is that true, or do they just throw that in there? Does Neil Crompton just throw that in there and say, oh, yeah, just because it sort of sounds good? Or do you guys legitimately have someone in Orange or maybe just west of Sydney to say, oh, the rains are coming, Marge. They're on their way.
The rains are here. No. Certainly with our team, we've always had someone sort of up the top spotting. So if you don't, like, if you do, you know, if
you're on
like,
top of the mountain, that is.
On top of the mountain, yeah. They'll radio back if there's anything, like, even like little things like kangaroos or something like that. There's a lot, like, we know a lot of people. Like, there's a lot of, like, teams that know people in Orange and, yeah, all sorts of places. But I know we don't actively put someone in Orange or someone in, I don't know, Cowra or, you know, some like ages away. Like, it's not a, not something that we do, but certainly we do put someone up the top. And yeah, normally, well, it's funny with the mountain and sometimes the weather will come and it'll get to the mountain and it will just stop. Like, it won't come any further than the hill. So it's, yeah, I don't know, but it's, but then the other way, sometimes it can happen. It can just be, there'll be nothing there. It just develops over the hill. So it's, and that's why you sometimes see.
You know how mountains and clouds work?
Yeah, kind of.
Clouds usually go to mountains and then that sort of rains because they're sort of running into each other. That's how it sort of works. That's why it rains when it gets to the mountain.
See, I didn't ask for a geography lesson, but anyway, we'll press on.
A geography lesson.
he's a bit feisty, isn't he, Scott?
He is. Oh, never tear us apart. Anyway, press on.
So, Jack, you spent a lot of time on the top of the mountain last year when you were there drinking for your first cans. Bathurst 1000, drinking cans with the Tiger Ferrells who were there a week
drove a few times over there too. Did a bit of E-Series over the top there and then top of the mountain over the grape.
Oh, my God.
Red shit out,
so I mean, Jack, you saw it last year. There are about 10,000 people who spend the entire 4 days on top of the mountain. There's nobody there this year. It's empty. And then that's a big thing about scaring off. Normally, these people scare off the kangaroos and they go somewhere else. But this year, there's a real fear that they're not going to be scared off and they're going to come and check out what all this noise is when the cars hit the racetrack. Is that something, Scott, that you're aware of? Are you discussing that there are more and more chances of more kangaroos being on the racetrack this season?
We don't really discuss that. I think we do, you know, we know the risk could be a lot higher. It's very quiet at the top. The only people I saw at the top today were a couple of photographers, wild. So normally that whole hill's packed. The campgrounds obviously are empty. It's not something we discuss. Definitely something that you and your media friends will just try and blow up a fair bit bloody media people just trying to, you know, create headlines. But no, I think it is what it is. I mean, far out.
You blame the media and then you're going to turn around at Forest Elbow and there's a bloody kangaroo eyeballing you.
What am I meant to do?
How the media style,
do you want us to put a bull bar on the front of the Mustang, mate? Like, how do we prepare that? You can't prepare for that. Well, you can, but like, it's just, you just gotta be aware.
I was just asking the question, mate.
No, but yeah. You're blowing me up. Like,
well, talking about the bloody media, have the media ticked you off a little bit this week? Just the referencing last year and then even going to some of your biggest and baddest rivals and asking them for comment on last year and just blowing it all up again. Is that, I don't know. Has it pissed you off a little bit?
Nah. Fully expected it. I didn't think there wouldn't be. You would come here and not expect to hear anything about it. But I laugh, Hodgie. You know how I act with it all. Those people are fully focused on what we're doing. And we're just fully focused on trying to win another Bathurst.
Kangaroos.
Yeah, and dodge kangaroos. That apparently are going to be more enforced this year, Jack.
Oh, Jesus. Because
we've got a kangaroo spotter down in Melbourne, just checking everything out.
I can't even get up there.
The kangaroo.
He's got a mate in Orange and says, oi, there's a lot of kangaroos around, mate.
There's a mob of kangaroos on the way
here.
They
better be prepared.
Hey, I'm just going to touch some wood now.
I'm not saying I'm not going to. I'm just saying, we can't prepare for it. You just got to take it as it comes.
What do you do then in that case? Because like I've driven at night a few times,
you're real bit of driving it, and stuff.
You got to just go, don't you?
Well, no, not really, because you're done. Like if you hit a kangaroo, you're done. Like you can't, your race is over. So it's you got too much damage. So yeah, it's you've got to try and miss it. But like I mean, when you're doing 290 k's down Conrad, and there's a kangaroo that jumps over the, you know, one, it's going to go flying. But then yeah, be a sight.
Have you had any close calls before?
This is where I'm going to touch wood. No, I haven't. I've honestly never seen a kangaroo.
Whatever.
Nope. Never on the mount. I've never seen a kangaroo.
Well, let's hope that.
Everyone
continues.
Touch wood for me.
Touch wood. Okay. Hey, I just want to raise the other one I had in the rundown. Is Tim Slade. Oh. So can you take us back to last year when we were at the Oxford, the drinks afterwards? When Tim Slade had the worst day imaginable, he
destroyed his lap one.
He destroyed his car.
And lost his
destroyed his car on drive. Lap one of a 161 lap race.
Yeah,
I was amazed when we got to the pub that night and he was there because I thought he would have racked off and got the first hire car and just jumped in and been home in his own bed in Victoria by then, or Queensland, which doesn't he? So, but then he was there drinking. Then you got in a round with him, and then can you take away the rest of the shot?
Well, I generally forgot that Slade was out that one, for instance, for that first part of the night, because I was very surprised that he was out partying. We have talked about this week. And
that's
I always
got
just,
him on as a co-driver, because he's a good bloke.
And he's quite a small fellow. Like, he's quite a... He's not the biggest unit in the world.
He's a wombat.
He's light. And I was just like picking him up and like
he's
jumping.
He's not still on the couch behind you, is he?
No. No, he's gone home. But I was like picking him up and, you know, dancing with him, like just full on, like just up in the air, like throwing him up in the air because he's quite a light fella, like I said.
And you're so big.
So when I've gone, and this is after probably my 40th Red Bull vodka, and I've gone to like get him up again, and I've lost balance as I've gone up, and he's just absolutely face planted. Like he had two drinks in his hand, so he couldn't balance on me, and he just toppled over like the leaning tower of Pisa going down after all these years, and just flattened, like flat face plant, drinks everywhere gone, and I it was real bad.
Did you buy him drinks after that, or did you not buy him drinks?
I think I did eventually. Not straight away.
Oh, like this.
And you know what he would have done, Jack? He would have whacked him right in the groin straight afterwards.
Yeah,
exactly.
Not allowed to do that,
I like how you've said that he's gone home. So you're staying in the Taj Mahal of camper vans, basically. Yeah. You've got everything you need in there. Where does the co-driver, is he in like the, where's he staying? Has he got his own sort of Taj Mahal hotel or?
No. Or they share a house. Normally all the teams, when they come here, they have houses and they share a house just around the corner. So him, Fabian and TD are in and Jackson Stubbs, our team commercial guy, share a house around the corner.
And then what is your...
I find it interesting, Hodgie. Yeah. I just another point. I find it interesting that someone who, our boy, Scott McLaughlin, has to drive himself to Bathurst. Sure, like, where's your private plane?
Oh mate, nowhere. I don't have private planes. I'm not a wanker like yourself. Like I sort of just, you know, I'm happy to go off the general folk.
When you go to America though, how are you getting over there?
I am getting over there by commercial plane.
Which end of the plane? Were you going left or right when you get on?
I'll go left.
How far left are you going?
I'm not flying it.
Yeah, but are you going to go to business or are you going to go to first?
No, I'm business. Sleep's going to sleep.
So you asked for first?
No, I didn't ask for first. No, I did. Like it's important that I get some sleep after this. So I'm going to try and hang the lie flat and just sleep.
Hopefully you're hungover and got something to celebrate.
No, I'm not drinking Sunday.
Really?
Regardless.
Even if you win, you're not going to drink.
No, I won't get up it like I did last year.
No, you're a loser.
You're lucky we're not there, Jack. Is it playing on your mind? I know you've got the biggest weekend in Australian motorsport this weekend. Scott and Sunday is such a big focus. But do you let your mind drift off to Florida and what's going to happen from Monday onwards when you jump on Big Bird and fly to America and straight to Charlotte for a seat fitting and then down to St. Petersburg for your first IndyCar race?
No, I think I'm lucky in the fact that Bathurst is such a massive event on our calendar and somewhere where you just want to go well, that you sort of just all focuses on here. I guess I'm looking at next week as excitement, like it's going to be cool to get there and race St. Pete and stuff. Excited to see the IndyCar team and stuff like that. But Bathurst is so big, such an aura about it that it's really hard to take your mind off it. It's just a positive end, regardless of regardless of how this weekend goes, win, lose, or whatever. I've got a pretty cool thing on the end of it.
It's like having your birthday the week after Christmas, Hodgie, I reckon this. He's living the dreams where everyone's cooped up and our boy is making more money than anyone ever's ever made in COVID. And now he's going to America on a holiday. What more could you want to do? And he's flying private. You beauty.
I'm not flying private, you flog. Like, just seriously.
You're little over there, though.
You, like, what is with you in private planes?
Oh, cool.
You're always into me about
it. He wants one.
Yeah, I reckon you'd be like Tasmanian mogul soon.
How are you getting from Charlotte to Florida?
Commercial.
Well, if like South by Southwest, I reckon you might fly on private that day.
No, I'm actually not. Mm-mm. No. Potentially might be flying private from LA to Charlotte, though. But yeah, keep that to yourself.
Look at that. Roger.
Keep that to yourself.
Roger.
Yeah.
Wrap up, guys.
Send us some photos.
We've got a couple of games, but just a success. So it's been 3 years since you guys met each other. Can you believe that's the success that you've both shared over these past 3 years and what's potentially in store over the next, 48, 72 hours and then potentially the next 8 days? The two of you, you might have 3 Supercar championships, 3 AFL premierships and a couple of Bathurst. It's extraordinary, really, what the two of you have been able to achieve.
It's cool. It's very cool.
Fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to probably, catch
celebrate
up.
Celebrate enough.
I think, when my season's still going and his finishes, I've still got to be pretty race-faced. And now this year, when mine's finishing, I'm jetting away when his finishes. So it's always a bit of a pain in the butt in that regard.
Zoom drinks, maybe something like we have Zoom
drinks.
You get some water.
Yeah.
No, I think we do take the piss out of each other. But I think we really enjoy seeing each other to go well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we genuinely care about the other guy going really well. So. I'll be glorious.
Oh, man, I was up when you kicked the first goal of the bloody qualifying final. Man, I was up. I was standing. I was fist bumping. In there, Jackie boy. Go. But it was just... He's not even my team.
Screaming. I'll be screaming on Sunday at Bathurst. Win, lose, or draw, whatever happens this week, tomorrow night. I'll be glued to the screen on Sunday, cheering for Slady not to put it in the ditch and our boy to take us home for another Bathurst. Yes.
Well, best of luck, fellas. Now, Scott, this could be fun because at the start of the show, Jack said he didn't have a top five. So let's see him panic right now. We've got a sting to play from Dan and M and ARB, and then it's time for Jack's top five.
Hey, Dad, in the olden days, did your car have a fridge and canopy?
No, son.
What was it like?
Well, the Esky would leak on hot days, the tray would fill on rainy days, and the suspension was so rough, things would go flying out the back.
But now we can get a canopy from the new car shop?
You betcha, kiddo. We can get all our ARB accessories straight from the dealer. Just gotta ask.
Order your ARB accessories with your new car today. Talk to the team at ARB Bairnsdale and Traralgon or the new Sale four-wheel drive centre. Just gotta ask.
Roger, yes, time on the top five. And contrary to what you've just said before, I put a lot of time and effort into this top five. And I do get mocked a fair bit. But I have been thinking for a long time about this one. And with our boy Scott McLaughlin not paying his debts, thought about the top five things that are absolute bullshit for getting a fine for. And clearly in the current climate, there's, and off the back of some other news that came across my desk the other day, that Victoria has handed out $25 million worth of COVID fines.
Really?
And how much do you reckon has been paid out of the 25 mil?
Zero.
About 500,000. Wow. Might be 300,000. Like, good luck getting that money off them, I reckon. It's absolute bullshit. Number five, I reckon nearly everyone has copped this, and that is a parking fine. It irks me to whatever, just parking fines. Like, I reckon it's bullshit. Dustin Martin had $15,000 worth of parking fines built up once. There you go. That was a long time ago.
$15,000?
Had to go on a payment plan. 15 grand for a parking fine.
But how do you get it to that point?
Just park wherever you like. And then don't pay the fines. They sort of build up.
I always pay my bills, man. That'd flip me out.
No, you don't. You clearly don't. You don't pay AVIS.
I pay the ones I know.
F off is your standard response, isn't it?
Would you, for Scotty, for 15 grand parking fine or 2 days in jail, what would you do?
15 grand parking fine?
Yeah, okay. I'd probably
last 2 days in jail, mate. There's no way.
You wouldn't be able to get the eyebrows done in there.
Nah.
Hey, you've got it. I noticed today, Scott, you've got a sharp new trim, haven't you?
Yes, I had it. Oh, what? And on my eyebrows and my haircut?
The whole lot. The whole kit and caboodle. This is the big weekend for you.
Got to get it tuned up.
Rubbing it in. People in Victoria can't even get a haircut.
You
got a mullet, Hodgie, actually.
You do, actually. Number four. Party the back. Is this number four? Jesus Christ.
Sorry, number four. E-tag fines. E-tag fines are absolute bullshit. Well, why are we paying to drive on a road? That's the best road. See, clearly, it's the best road, so let's just make people pay for it. That's absolute bullshit.
Press on.
Number three, this one absolutely grinds my gears. And that is, have you ever got a fine for not paying your rego? But we don't get rego stickers anymore.
Oh, I've got a company car, mate.
Sorry, what?
I don't pay me rego. It's thankfully I looked after my Ford.
You couldn't even get me a car when I came up. But so yeah, Hodgie, for the normal people out there that pay their rego. I've been done. I paid my rego, didn't get the rego sticker. And you know how you used to get one put it in the bottom corner of your car. And then you'd go, rightio, well it's got a 12 on it, so I'm not gonna pay it in December. They don't give you them anymore. So you miss your rego time. All of a sudden, whip. Cops pull you over because they've got new fancy cameras, and you're paying not only for the car, the rego, you've got to pay the fine as well.
What number are we up to, Scott?
Oh, God, I don't know. Finish it off.
Three.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to lie, boys. I actually didn't have anything prepared for this. I've done this off of win the last one.
Go straight to one.
That was the top three.
Hey, Scott, I'm just waiting to see if the match review panel finds that he's copped. How many of those you got? Copped three this year?
How many fines? Yeah,
that's bullshit. There's another one. Match review panel.
How are you going to go with Tom Jonas, the Port Adelaide captain, tomorrow night when you go up? And will you shake his hand and say, look, I'm sorry for punching you in the nuts the last time we played. I copped a fine for it.
No, because I said sorry when I did it because I didn't mean to do it, but I still got a fine. Oh, sure. You know what happened, Nodgy? Last year,
unsociable Tigers.
Last year, I got fined for a chicken wing tackle, And I went to Tribunal, came out of there looking like an idiot because they were like, oh, yeah, not guilty, but we're still going to fine you. And I thought, why would I go into City Hall and go, hey, you might as well have $3,000 while you're at it. So I took the early fines, just pleaded guilty out of just couldn't be bothered going to bloody Tribunal.
Do you have to wear a suit
for Tribunal?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just the high profile players that had to do that. You know, the ones that. You know, the ones you see on the news.
Come on, Jack. You got to go to bed to play a game tomorrow. So come on, wrap up this top five.
Oh, I need to qualify for Bathurst.
It's only a top four. I can't think of another thing that that grinds me gears of pain.
Scott Smolty, thanks for Jason at FM Finance in Brisbane.
If you're looking for car, boat or motorbike finance, then talk to FM Finance. With more than 10 years of experience in helping Australians get the loans they need, our process is fast and easy. We also offer business loans for new equipment or machinery, or personal finance for holidays or home improvements. Come and talk to Jason and the team now. Find out more at www.fmfinance.com.au and call us on 1300 363462.
I feel like you need a bit of a, well, just an easy one. Like, do you want to take multi out of it? Do you just want to have Scott bet?
No, it's not just multi.
Just bet on one thing.
I don't. Like, I don't on, do. Hey, you know I don't what? Bet on one thing. I don't Here's bet on one
idea.
Thing.
Here's an idea. Just bet on the ball to be bounced tomorrow for the game, start of the game. Just be like,
oh you know what I could bet on? Jack for less than five touches. That'd be decent. That'd be decent.
Just one leg, mate. We just need one leg.
Right on, mate. That's a shoo-in. It's a shoo-in.
Sponsored by a finance company. You're bloody throwing money down the toilet.
Yeah, well, look, I'm Scott Smolty, 0-9. Yes, I know.
Are you working for Sportsbet? Are you working for Sportsbet or something like that?
Not,
to say,
no.
Hey. What about if I'm on a radio show? I'll give them all these crappy tips so then they give you all their money.
I'm not on a radio show, mate. It's a podcast. Anyway, look, thanks for Jason at FM Finance in Brisbane for really sponsoring this absolutely lousy
Looking
segment.
Looking for you, fat and thin.
You know, Jason and his team are currently giving away a $250 gift card with all approved and settled loan applications. For more info, head to fmfinance.com.au. Yeah, multi, I have nothing prepared right now, but what I'm going to go with, and I'm just going to do off the top of my head, and this is probably, this will go through.
It's Jack can't agree work. With
this also. This is going to include Jack. I'm going to go, I'm going to say, can I not include you?
No, because I felt the pressure last time. You put me in and I didn't like that.
Makes sense. Okay.
Take me out.
All right. All right, sweet.
So he's blaming you. He's blaming you for his form then.
Nah, I've got it. Two goals.
Yeah, exactly.
Two goals for Tom Lynch. Two goals or more for Tom Lynch. Dusty Martin, 25 plus touches, and Richmond to win 1-39. Done. There's your multi. I don't know what it's paying. That all clear. Don't worry.
I'll just double want to clear this up. Week. If the integrity unit come for me, I've had nothing. I don't know this man. All right, I don't know him. But nothing to do with this whatsoever. Nothing.
Oh, I didn't include.
Absolutely zero. Zero.
Just, yeah, no dramas. Yeah.
I'll tell you, you could have put that.
We better wrap this up, eh?
Hey, Jack, you could put a Jack's bet on your mate Thomas Randall and Nick Perkett. I think each way, they're a great chance. Great chance.
BGR going right at the moment. BGR going right. I'm on them. I'm on them for a place. Is it same? Is they finished on the podium? Is that first, second, third? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, mate.
That's the way.
Yeah.
You were there last year. You would have seen.
don't be so. No, it wasn't. Because my mate didn't get me into the inner circle. I was out the back, bloody, nearly getting.
I'm not going to hold your hand the whole time.
But he is going to get you a Ford Mustang, Jack. I'm confident of that.
Yes, SM17, baby.
Right, I'm in your stock. Lads, What are the chances, lads, of a show next week to wash up whether Jack's in a granny and Scott, you'll be somewhere in the United States?
We're going to have to do it. I'm going to be in the US, but we're just going to have to do it. Like, I'm free as a bee at some point, but just going to have to do it like in a time zone that suits all of us.
I'm keen, Hodgie. I just want to get some, maybe our friends at TAB or Sportsbet. To put up a market and how long it takes our boy Scott McLaughlin to have an American twang in his accent. Because I reckon day dot he gets there and he starts getting that southern drawl going, I'm Scott McLaughlin.
Oh my god, that's one of the worst. Anyway, you got to stop talking, dude.
Best of luck to you both.
Thank you, Jack. What happens? Are you going straight back to Victoria if you lose tomorrow, or what happens there?
Yeah, mate.
Just leave. They're probably out out there, mate.
No, I just don't just leave my mates. But then, and leave everyone just on a whim to go and do something.
Nah, good on you, mate.
Don't send negative vibes, Scott. He's going to be back to Queensland for a grand final next Saturday. Is.
Absolutely. Not more about it. I know. I'm going to be watching here and me Taj just hanging out and going to enjoy the game.
Private jet right now.
No, I don't. No. But look, you know, one thing's for sure.
Good luck, mate.
If I had paid my bill, we would never have a sponsor. So we've been here thanks to the crew at EC Credit Control. That's our new major sponsor, boys, if you haven't heard of them. For the very best debt collectors across New Zealand and Australia, you can sign your business up online at eccreditcontrol.com.au. or eccreditcontrol.co.nz for the New Zealanders. If you sign up and enter the code 1743-1753, your first debt load will be free. For more info, call EC Credit Control on 1300-361-070 or 0800-324-768 if you're calling from New Zealand. Thanks, boys. Been fun. Let's go win a Bathurst and get to the granny. No dramas.
See ya.
Go well, lads, and thanks to Maddie and the crew from EC Credit Control again, who have been such great people to jump on board. So that's been Balls and Bumpers. Hopefully we've got a grand final participant and a Bathurst back-to-back by the next time we speak.
And Maddie, I'll pay my bill. Don't worry. See you, mate.